Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you're
lying.
People telling you what to do. I'm gonna tell you it's true. It's our time to stand up and speak the truth. Let the voice be heard. Let them know that you, we break up.
Happy Thursday, Rule Breakers. Welcome to another amazing episode of No Rules, Just Mics. We are the No Rules radio show that's bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know. It is your three hosts back together after a very, very long time of being separated. I am with Christian and Chris Burson. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. Extremely happy to be back after a long layoff. And it's going to be good to be back doing our thing. Burson, how are you?
Good to be back. We had some strong winds and rain come through the area, but it's now cooled off, and it's a beautiful day for No Rules, Just Mics.
Nice. Well, as you guys know, we are able to be located on our website, which is myoncensoredradio.com, as well as our podcast via iTunes, just type in No Rules, Just Mics, and you can find us. You can find some of our old shows as well as our updated shows over the last couple of weeks. I do want to mention, I know that we mentioned this, was it last week or the week before? I think it was the week before, that we do have No Rules merchandise. We have koozies, T-shirts, bumper stickers on the way. Koozies are $8, T-shirts are $27, and stickers are $6. Limited supply of the T-shirts and koozies for right now. But if you guys send me a message through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/No Rules, just Mike, let me know what size you are or what you want. I can get that ordered for you, and we can make that happen. All the proceeds are going to the creation of our brand-new No Rules, Just Mics website. We are raising money so we can have a web host kind of make that happen for us and maintain it. That way you guys can find out about what's going on with Mr. Holy City Center, with Chris Burson, as well as myself. And it's been a while since I've had a Holy City Center update, so how about you enlighten everybody in Charleston to tell us what's going on over the next weekend?
All right. Well, Topher, I know you and Matt got into some boating not too long ago. You guys enjoyed some races, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Atlantic Cup is in town on Saturday around noon. The boats are going to start their race from Charleston all the way to New York City, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. But these boats will be taken off around noon, and you'll be able to see them from the harbor. So that should be a lot of fun for those of you looking for something a little different than normal. We also have the Greek festival all weekend long, so Greek food, Greek drinks, whatever it may be. It's a whole lot of fun. That's downtown at 30 Race Street. There's also a whole bunch of Mother's Day runs and such on Saturday for people to participate in, which should be a lot of fun. Yoga events, are, for whatever reason, are also huge this weekend. Outside of that, we've got some normal things we see. Sipping Saturdays out at Irvin House Vineyard. Whiskey Diablo will be playing that. That's always a fun event, enjoying some wine, some frozen wineritas, some Firefly samples. For all you nerds, there's a Taking Flight comic book show at the Sparrow, a Park Circle bar. And although I don't have comics, I am a nerd, so it's okay. There's also a food truck rodeo, 3 p.m. at the Goose Creek's Royal Lanes. A lot of food trucks will be out there, which should be fun. And it's College of Charleston's graduation weekend, so that'll be going on. And we got some oldies. Alabama will be at the Family Circle Stadium at 7:30 on Saturday night. I mean, there's so much more. I could go on and on, as always. But you can get the full list at holycitycenter.com/event.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I think I'm going to try to convince my father-in-law to do the boating event. I think it'd be really awesome if we're on the harbor as the other boats are on the harbor. What?
Yeah, and it's free.
Right in the action.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cool. Chris Burson, you're kind of quiet. How have you been?
Good. I had my vacation down in Tennessee. And for all those people that follow us on Facebook, I tried to post some beautiful pictures of the Tennessee Mountains. We took a motorcycle out there, went on. There's a road that's called Tail of the Dragon, which is 318 curves and 11 miles.
Wow.
And it is absolutely beautiful and gorgeous, and I didn't want to leave. But that's what I did, and then we had our week off. Been pretty low-key, pretty relaxed. This weekend I don't really have a lot going on. It's one of the last few soccer games for my kids that I'm coaching, which it's interesting to coach fourth and fifth graders who some of them want to be there, some of them don't want to be there, some of them are skilled, some of them are not. Some of them, their parents want them to be there and are homeschooled. So it was an interesting mix of kids, but I absolutely loved every second of it.
That's fantastic. What's your score right now?
The team is 4-4, and we've got two more games left, so I'm hoping we can come away with a winning record.
That'll be awesome. That will absolutely be awesome. Yeah, so I'm really sorry about not being able to show up last week. There's just, you know, I think everybody knows that life happens, and, you know, it just doesn't pan out. But everybody knows that I adopted a dog a couple of weeks ago, and he was tested for heartworm. I love my Huck. He's amazing. But he was heartworm positive. He was stage 3 of stage 4 heartworms, which is as bad as you can get and still kind of make a full recovery. So he had his first treatment before I adopted him, and then it was 2 weeks after his first treatment that we had picked him up. And then we had to foster him. 2 weeks later, which was last Monday, he had to go in for back-to-back, almost like chemotherapy treatments, where they basically inject him with arsenic to kill all the heartworms, which is, it's tough. There's no animal that can get heartworms that survives it. Cats can't survive it. Only dogs can do it. So he went through a really, really expensive therapy to become heartworm free, and we got him back Tuesday night. Tuesday night he looked rough. Yesterday didn't look all that great until probably about 9 o'clock last night. His tail started wagging. He seemed kind of alert, but you can definitely tell that he's still in pain. So at this point, he is zero exercise, and not just a little exercise, like zero exercise. He needs to be a couch potato for the next 30 days, which, those of you listeners who know, I have an 18-month-old puppy who does not stop. So this has been a big challenge for both Matthew and I. So it's pretty crazy going through this. It's definitely a worthwhile experience because it reminds you to really want to give your dog or cat heartworm preventative treatments, because it's not worth it, especially cats. Cats can't survive heartworm. So just go to your local animal shelter and ask them what heartworm preventative that they should take. Willa takes Trifexis and Huck, because he's had heartworms, take something else. I don't know what it's called. But absolutely, one, they are new to your pets, and two, if you have pets, please take care of them and make sure that they have flea prevention and heartworm prevention, because if you don't, it's awful, and it's not fair for the animal to be put through that just because you're lazy. So we're going through that. It's been really rough. But now that we're on the kind of upswing, we're kind of seeing, that little glisten in his eye, and he's smiling and he's wagging his tail again. It's going to be good, but it's going to be a long 30 days, I have to say. It's crazy. So that's what my weekend's been.
Ugh, no good. I went through that with a dog once, and yeah, heartworm stuff is no fun for the dog, of course, but also no fun for the parents either. Sorry you guys had to go through it, but sounds like everything's good. Vets know what they're doing, and if you catch it early enough, everything should go just fine. Sounds like it did.
Yeah, it did. And, heartworm, we went through the Charleston Animal Society, which is a great organization. If you don't want to adopt a pet, you can always foster a pet. If you don't want to adopt or foster, you can always donate money, because they're always looking for donations so they can be better, because they are a no-kill site. Which is a great thing. But, they spent, they covered all the expenses for Huck, which is really nice, because that could have been out of pocket about $5,000 just for heartworm treatment, which is why we had to foster him. So they covered the expenses, which was really, really nice. It was very helpful. So just because a dog has heartworms doesn't mean that it's going to be expensive to you. It just means that you need to be a little bit more patient with your four-legged friend before you can start running and playing and jumping with them. So I highly recommend adopting, and just because they're heartworm positive doesn't mean that they should be off of your radar, because they need a home too. So, Christian, you mentioned earlier that you were offered an opportunity to judge something, and you were kind of waxing and waiting whether or not you were going to do the show or whether you're going to do this other judging thing. I'm interested to find out what the hell is this.
Well, you guys have to know that I was not wavering on whether I was doing the show or not. I chose the show immediately over this judging because I haven't been here in a while, or the show itself hasn't been here, like the case last week. The only way I would have done it is if the show is delayed for whatever, or canceled for whatever reason. But last minute, meaning the day of the event, I was asked to be a judge for an event at the Tin Roof in West Ashley called the Air Sex Championship.
The what?
Yes, you did hear me correct. Air Sex. So you've heard of air guitar, of course. And air guitar is people pretending to play the guitar, air drums, or whatever.
Are you serious?
Air sex. I'm dead serious. Air sex is just like that, where people are pretending or mimicking or miming, however you want to say it, to have sex. So you'll see people do, like, foreplay things, pretend making out, and then pretend to have sex. So it's supposed to be a hilarious event. It's not meant to be taken seriously, of course. It was here last year. And I heard about it, and it came back, and I've been talking about it on my blog because it's funny, and I think it's something that a lot of people would get a kick out of. So, yeah, certainly would have been fun to attend, but at the same time, I wasn't dying to go. I'm happy to be here relaxing and doing the show with you guys. But, yeah, quite the interesting event, to be sure. When I posted about it, a lot of people were very confused and concerned about what exactly was going to be going on.
Okay, that just sounds amazing. I wasn't too sure if
that's
what you meant when we were talking earlier. Because, you mentioned it, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll just let that go because we're going to do the show, so I don't have to convince them. And I didn't think of it, but then I was like, air sex? Are they like in airplanes and they're like having sex? Are you like doing like binoculars and you're watching these people have sex in the air as they're falling before the parachute opens up? You know, whoever orgasms first wins or you die. I wasn't sure. But that just sounds like a lot of fun to watch. Just, yeah, I'd pay money for that. I'd pay $5 to watch people pretend to have sex. I would laugh the entire time, but that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. So the next time you get to do it, and hopefully it's not on the Thursday, let me know. That way I can join you, because that would be amazing to watch.
So did you just confirm that you wanted to join Christian in air sex? I think that's what I heard.
No. That's not what I... Yes.
No. Yes.
Yes, 50%. No, the other 50%.
Christian doesn't buy people flowers.
I'm like, he's not getting any of my air sex. He can screw himself.
What? What if they're air flowers?
Okay, I guess that works. Before we move into our topics, I think we have some pretty interesting topics. I think we can kind of... I think we can hold the next 45 minutes with these topics. But next week... The Charleston famous 95SX former DJ, Tanya Brown, is going to be joining the Rule Breakers to talk about her past, her present, and her future. So you guys do not want to miss it. Again, Tanya Brown from Two Girls and a Guy in the Morning on 95SX will be joining us next Thursday. So mark it in your calendars. Tell your friends. Tell your family. If you guys have any questions that you want to ask her, you guys can hit us up, message us on Facebook. Again, it's facebook.com/norulesjustmikes. Or if you guys are on Twitter, it's @norulesjustmikes. And let us know what questions you have for her, and we'll be sure to ask them. Or if it's a really good question, or you have something that you want to ask her kind of personally, you can give us your contact information, and we can get you on the show, and you can ask the question yourself. So next Thursday, I'm very excited. I've been talking to her today, and I'm very excited to have her on the show. I've known her for, gosh, probably was about 21. I met her, and we started talking together. We became friends, and then, you know, time and everything kind of separates, and I ran into her again because a very good friend of mine won tickets to see Rihanna in Fort Lauderdale, and we went there, and she, I ran into her again, and we kind of just been Facebook messaging and stuff like that. So it'll be good to actually talk to her face to face, or well, I guess talk to her again aside from Facebook. So I hope you guys tune in. It's going to be a really, 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 really good show. So with that being said, speaking of really good shows, anybody who is a product of the 90s, who was born in the 80s, that has watched 90s television shows, knows about probably one of the most notable multicolored spandex-wearing superheroes known as the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Those of you who listen to the show know that we have our lovable and adorable Karen Ashley, who was the second season Yellow Ranger on our Guilty Pleasures show. She's an amazing person. So what's really cool is Saban, who was the creator of the American version and the Japanese version of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, is teaming up with Lionsgate Films to do a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers reboot. And I'm quoting E! Online, but you can go to CNN, you can go to Huffington Post, MSNBC, Today Show, everybody's covering this. This is a really, really big thing, which I'm kind of surprised at how big it actually has become. You know, this is huge. And it just goes to show how much, you know, people love these four spandex-wearing teenagers. Lionsgate Films has done a lot of really awesome things. They do The Hunger Games, they kind of revamped Hunger Games, Twilight, Divergent. So I guess the next thing is, you know, they're wanting to take what the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was, you know, six high school teenagers who were given basically ultimate power and really awesome outfits and Megazords and, you know, the whole shebang. You guys have watched Power Rangers. I'm not telling you something you guys don't already know. But they're revamping it into something very different. It's going to be a new series of Power Rangers, new costume, new Megazords, new actors. It's going to be a brand new thing. And apparently they're wanting to turn this into a pretty big they're wanting to continue with the big franchise that the show was a long, long time ago. For those of you who do not know, Power Rangers debuted in 1993, so we are just past 20 years of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And as those of you who don't know, that it's kind of evolved each season. It's always been a Power Ranger brand, but it's always been kind of like a different season with different actors, different cast members, different outfits, different swords and things like that. But it's always kind of stayed true to, you know, what the Power Rangers were back in 1993. So I'm really, really excited to see what they're going to do with this. And Lionsgate Films does a lot of really awesome movies anyway. So I'm hoping that this is going to be a really good thing for the franchise. And it has a huge following. I know that there's these Comic Cons and Dragon Cons and Wizard Cons that I know Jason David Frank goes to all the time. David Yost goes to all the time. Karen Ashley goes to these things all the time, and there is just fan base after fan base, people, you know, still connecting to the show 20 plus years later. So I'm excited to kind of see where this goes and if it actually takes off. What do you guys think? Were you guys Power Ranger fans back in the day?
I was for a little bit. I think for like a season to maybe three. It was kind of at that point where I was still into stuff like that, but was starting to grow out of it too, you know. But I definitely was big time for at least a year or two, and then I think that third year is probably when I started to kind of grow out of it a little bit. Probably still played with the toys and stuff a little bit, but yeah, I was really, really into it for a while, you know, once the Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters phase kind of faded out.
Right.
You know, when I first saw, you know, you posted about it, I didn't really look into it. I wasn't really that excited. I was like, okay, whatever. But now that I know a little bit more about it, hey, yeah, I'm open to it. It's always fun when superhero movies get made Sometimes they're awful. You know, sometimes they're really, really good. Like, they rebooted Spider-Man again. And I actually enjoyed the last one, was pretty good. The second one, I've read good reviews. I haven't seen it. I hated the last Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. So you never know how things are going to go. I'm definitely willing to give it a chance, especially since they're going to change it around a little bit. It won't be as campy and low budget as we remember from being kids. So, hey, who knows? If they can make it slightly more mature, I could definitely get behind it.
Right. What about you, Chris Person? Were you a Ranger fan?
No, that's one of those cartoons that I just never got into as a kid. I remember flipping through the channels and seeing it, and I passed it up every single time. But I'm interested to see where they actually take with, now pairing with Lionsgate, where they actually take the premise of the movie, to see if it's something that's going to, like Christian said, it's a little bit more adult-geared rather than children-geared.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that actually pans out to, like, how the Hunger Games have done it. It was such a big fan base for the book that they've turned it into this movie, and it's taken off like wildfire. I'm hoping that they can turn this into that same contagious feel that they have for Hunger Games and Twilight, that once you see the first one, everybody's waiting for the next movie to come out, and the next one, because they can't get enough of it. So I'm hoping that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers reboot can take off and has that same feel to it.
Yeah, I agree. They did two movies already. They did one in 1995, which was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers: The Movie, which had a pretty good success. I think it made like $66 million worldwide. And then they came out with Turbo: the Power Ranger movies, which didn't do all that well. I think it made like half of that or whatever not. But you know, you're right. I think with Lionsgate and Lionsgate kind of backing it up and having that more adult type of movies, I really think that this could really be a big thing. Granted, they're still going to be spandex wearing Rangers, but the first movie, they actually kind of had them almost like suits of armor, which was really cool. It was, we really kind of put a spin on the costumes, and it really put a spin on the entire movie, which made it more enjoyable to watch. And, you know, back in 1995, how old was I? I was 12. Yeah, I was 12. So, you know, back then you were like, holy crap, this is like really awesome. So I think it'd be really cool to bring back, you know, the older fan base who's watched it from the beginning, and then kind of get new viewers with their new spinoff. So I'm excited to kind of see what happens. This could be a really, really big thing, and it could really take the silver screen by storm, or it could be a huge flop and just not do a whole lot of anything. So there's been no release date, but only time will tell. I don't know of any actors that from the former seasons that are going to make a cameo, but I know a lot of them want to. So we'll see what happens.
Now, Topher, you're a little bit more in tune with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers history and things. What is it like for, you know, like the younger generations right now? Are they fans of it? Is it still popular? I think that's going to be a big deciding point, is how good the movie will do. You know, how young does it skew, or is it really even a thing?
It's still popular. You know, I think this is their 20th season, and they're still getting momentum. They still are relevant. Right now they're on Nickelodeon or Teen Nick or something like that. But they still have a very, very huge fan base, even after all these years. And I think a lot of it is because now that the original fan base is now older, they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and what have you, they're now having children, and they're introducing their kids to Power Rangers, and I think it's just kind of a legacy at this one. It's kind of like what Star Trek and Star Wars was back in the 70s and 80s. You know, you just kind of pass on that legacy.
Right.
But there is there's still a huge fan base, which is why I think Lionsgate is backing this up to turn it into something a little bit more substantial than just a
campy, definitely has potential,
kid show.
I mean, for sure. Definitely has a lot of potential.
I'm excited. I haven't talked to Karen about it. I don't know what her thoughts are. But I know a couple of the former Rangers of the different series have really been kind of putting their foot in and, you know, voicing, hey, I'd like to do a cameo. I think this is a really awesome thing to do. So we'll just see what happens. We'll see, even if it takes off the ground, we'll, you know, I'll keep you guys posted, of course. So, yeah, we'll just see. We'll see what happens. In other news, Will Smith has a daughter. Her name is Willow. It's not my dog. But she has, I think her daughter is like 13 or whatever. And apparently there was this big scandal going on with a former Disney child star. His name was Moises Aries. He was in the Hannah Montana series on Disney Channel. And then he did, he was the antagonist in the movie The Ender's Games. Apparently, there is a photo of Willow Smith, who's 13, in bed, shirtless, with this Moises Aries character, who is 20, who is also shirtless. Now, there's nothing provocative or anything going on, but apparently it's too risque, and people are pissed off about it because, you know, she's a young girl, and he's an adult, and they shouldn't be in bed together. But if you look at the photo, it's on eonline.com. She's laying there, just laying there, not doing a whole lot of anything, and he's in the background just laughing. So I don't understand, you know, what the issue is with it. I don't know. Jada Pinkett Smith, who I absolutely love, I think she's amazing. She kind of stood up and stated her claim because of all the crap that's been going on. She states on E! News, she states, quote, here's the deal. There was nothing sexual about the picture of that situation. You guys are projecting your trash into it. You guys are acting like covert pedophiles, and that's not cool. And I totally agree with her. It's a photo. It's just a photo. But people are up in arms about this. They're saying just a lot of really not good things. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school, but it's not – if it's too risky for you, then just turn away. Just don't look at it. Why do you have to say something? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, when you first read it, yeah, it sounds salacious. Oh, my gosh, you know, because the age difference isn't a big deal, just the number. But when you consider – you know, because age differences matter what the two ages are exactly, if that makes sense. A 7-year gap is a much bigger deal between a 13-year-old and a 20-year-old, you know, versus a 37-year-old and a 30-year-old, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds salacious, it's headline-grabbing, and it's going to get a ton of page views, and that's exactly what has happened, of course. And then you look at the photo, and it really isn't a big deal at all. It's like middle of the day, I mean, it's bright out anyway, and it just, it's not a big deal at all. And I could care less. However, if that was my child, a 13-year-old girl with a 20-year-old guy, I would not be so stoked about it. However, yeah, it would just be me being overprotective. But no, not a big deal, not even news to me whatsoever. Burson, where do you fall on this scandal?
When I saw this earlier this week, and I kind of laughed to myself, and I was like, so what's the big deal? And I guess the big thing, like, looking at the picture, you're like, oh, it's obviously nothing's going on. Obviously nothing's happening. But just a headline of 13-year-old in bed with a shirtless actor who's 20. So I think that's the part that's grabbing the headlines, is that you have a 13-year-old female in bed with a 20-year-old male who doesn't have a shirt on. So is it news? I guess it's news. We're talking about it, and everybody seems to – all the news outlets – Huffington Post, E! Online, I mean, they all have an article about it. So it's news, but it's nothing. They're fabricating it. There's absolutely nothing there. I don't see it as a big deal. I don't see it as a big story. But like Christian said, I mean, if this was either my 13-year-old daughter or my 20-year-old son in bed, I would probably have a different emotion to it.
I'm going to disagree with you here. I totally think it's fine. I think if it's meant, if it's your child's a public figure, she's, I guess you can call her a singer. I know that she's done a lot of acting movies, so your child's in the public eye. She's going to do, you allowed her to do this, and look at her parents, Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. I mean, if you're not going to allow your child to do things that kind of pushes the envelope, I don't think you should have your child a part of Hollywood. But her parents are huge in Hollywood, and I feel it's just kind of par for the course. She's staking her claim. There's nothing wrong with it. She's covered. He's sitting there in the background. You know, I think it's fine, provided that she had parental consent. I think that everybody else should kind of mind their own business, to be honest with you. Sorry.
Yep, I'm on board with you. But, I mean, if me as a parent...
If it was my daughter, well, I think, that's fine.
Yeah. I would think
I would be completely okay with it.
As me as a parent, now, if there was parental consent, obviously, yeah. I mean, if the parents were notified, provided, everybody was there, everybody was on board, then that's one thing. But if she has done this without parental consent and then put this out on the internet, is she looking to rebel? Is she looking for something? Is this her outlet to voice her own opinion rather than be under the wing of her obviously well-known parents in the Hollywood industry? That would be my question. But that all gets into psychological stuff, and all we can see is a headline with a picture.
Right.
And, you know,
there are
and props to Jada Pinkett Smith for, even if she was upset about it, you know, didn't like it, she did the right thing by, you know, coming out saying, not a big deal, completely downplaying it, even though behind closed doors she might be like, hey, 21 and 20-year-old, let's be careful here. Yeah, she did the right thing, defending her daughter, making sure there was no negative press, trying to play it down. So, yeah, big props to her.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I honestly think that if the setting was any different, I don't think this would have been an issue. But because they're in a bed together, I think that's where people are like, whoa, I think this is a little too much. But, I mean, if they're in a phone booth together and it started steaming up, I mean, is that too much for you as well? I mean, I don't know. And I just think it's stupid how people are making such a big deal over absolutely nothing. Like back when, and I'm going to do it, I'm going to bring Britney Spears into this, back in 1999 when Britney Spears posted in that midriff in her panties with the purple Teletubby, that was absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. You can't do that. How dare she? What a bad role model for children. Blah, blah, blah. Like, shut up, people. Just shut up.
Well, I think the other thing that I look at is that her parents, there's nothing, they don't put themselves out in the public limelight. You don't hear about Will Smith or Jada Pinkett Smith. You don't hear about them out in normal everyday life and scandalous pictures and here and there. And this is the one glimpse that the paparazzi or the media has to get into and create these stories to be able
right.
to maybe project a negative light as to what is the entire family. So that I think that might have a little bit to play into it as well. This is their only inlet into the Smith household.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. You're right. Because Will Smith he's a clean rapper. Jada Pinkett back in the day, back in like the late '80s, early '90s, she was a little risky. She did some movies. I loved her in Low Down Dirty Shame, where she was Peaches. Loved her in that. But now she's she was that nurse Hawthorne or something like that, and she's really kind of refined herself to be a respectable actress. And I think you're right. I think this is just a way for Hollywood to kind of get into the Smith household. Oh, hey, Christian, I don't know if you posted it, but wasn't Will Smith in Charleston? I think for like that John Legend concert. Didn't he like hijack a rickshaw or something?
Yeah. John Legend was a separate incident. John Legend was here for a concert. He was seen downtown. But Will Smith, I was downtown somewhere completely different, just hanging out, kind of bored, didn't really have anywhere to go. And a mutual friend of ours, Topher, said that a friend of his had posted a picture of him and Will Smith on Facebook. And I said, yeah, right, let me see it. And we see it, and it definitely is Will Smith. Well, it turns out his buddy works at Husk, well, the bar at Husk, which is attached to the restaurant, which is a very well-known restaurant here in Charleston. Award-winning, James Beard award-winning chef Sean Brock is in charge of it, so it's not unusual to see celebrities stop in there. So apparently Will Smith was hanging at the bar at Husk waiting for his table to open up inside the restaurant. So my girlfriend Chelsea and I were nearby, and we're like, well, what the hell, let's go to Husk, see if we can catch a glimpse of him. So yeah, we went to Husk. By the time we got to the bar, unfortunately, Will Smith was inside eating, and we didn't want to go inside and bother him. So we hung at the bar, talked to our friend's friend, who said that Will Smith was, you know, really nice and cordial and was easy to talk to and just a good dude. And so that was cool. We're like, all right, awesome. So we hung out. And just when we were like, all right, it's getting kind of late. He probably went out a back door. It feels like he's been in there forever. He came walking out the front door of Husk. And outside were those rickshaws, you know, or bike taxis or whatever you may call them. And, you know, jokingly, he asked the driver if he could hop on the front. So he hopped on the front of it. There was a girl in the back. He started riding up and down the street on the rickshaw, just trying to see what it was about. People were laughing, taking pictures. There wasn't a ton of people. And, you know, it was only about maybe 10 people, and four of them were probably his buddies that he was with. So it was not a very big crowd at all. So that was funny to see. And then he got off the bike, took a couple of pictures, and then that was it. He walked down the street, went down King Street, and we found out he was renting a mansion down there on South Broad on King Street, which was gigantic, with him and some buddies. I'm not sure why he was here, but yeah, we did see him. Sadly, I was paying my bar tab as my girlfriend was taking pictures, and I did not get a picture with Will Smith. So I was a little bummed about that, because I was a huge Fresh Prince fan when I was a kid. Yeah, it was really cool. I was pretty close, you know, to him and saw him, and for once was actually able to see a celebrity in Charleston instead of just hearing about it secondhand. So, yeah, very cool.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he owns a house here or, no, he has a boat that he leaves here. I think he has a boat here. I know Oprah has a house here. I think she's right off of the Battery, if I'm not mistaken. Can you confirm that? Do you know if that's true or not?
If Oprah has a house?
Yeah. I thought she had a house right on the Battery, right by the waterfront.
I don't know if that's true. If she does, it's probably not under her name, because no one's ever said anything about property records, which are public. So she might have had somebody else's name or something. Who knows?
Huh. Interesting. Well, there's Will Smith. You know, I know of Bill Murray in more of a personal, personal way than just watching him in movies, because my boss actually plays golf with him. So there's going to be this huge big golf tournament out in Bulls Bay in June. I believe it's in June. And he's going to have I don't know if they're playing a four top or a four up or a group of four or whatever they call them. So they're going to do a charity event for my job, which is going to be really nice. So hopefully I get to be there, and hopefully I get to meet him. And if I meet him, I'm going to try to get him on the show so bad. I wanted him on the show since I knew that he was in Charleston.
Absolutely. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. You know what else is really awesome? Probably more for me and less for you guys, is that according to an article that was done with the Huffington Post, well, the Huffington Post is writing about it, but apparently 93% of straight men in a study said that they've cuddled with another guy. Now, of course, you know, my ears kind of perked up, and I was like, ooh, let me read a little bit more. But the study contained British I can't even talk about it. It was a study done in Britain about the social habits of heterosexual males, and it was published in the Journal of Men and Masculinities back in March. And the study revealed that 98% of the studies
which were all white college male athletes, have shared a bed with another guy. Now, that's not the shocking point. You know, when you go to like away games, space is tight, and you just kind of have to suck it up. You go butt to butt, and you know, kind of you go to sleep, and that's it. But 93% of them have also reported to be spooning or have cuddled with another man. Now, I got a little excited about that. I don't think I've done that with a straight guy. But I have to ask, you both have gone to college. Have you guys cuddled with another man? You can be honest. It's just us talking. There's not, you know, thousands of listeners.
Even if there was millions of listeners, it wouldn't change my answer. And unfortunately, it's not going to be good radio, but I have not cuddled with another man since I was a little baby boy and probably cuddled with, like, my dad or my grandparent, my grandfather or what have you. But, no, I have, when I was in college or whatever, definitely never cuddled up with a guy. Like you said, I've slept in the same bed as guys before. I mean, like you said, in college, sometimes you have sleepovers, you know, in your dorm rooms and other guys are far away and you just do what you got to do so everybody has a bed. But no, never have cuddled with a guy. I hate to break it to you.
Even any drunk stupor that you had that you're like, oh, okay, we're just not going to mention this.
No, I just don't. I wouldn't have done it. I just, you know, as drunk as I've been, and I'll say I've said some pretty stupid things and done some pretty stupid things. Not that this would be stupid, but, you know, I've done plenty of things while drunk, but no, cuddling up with a guy just has not been one of them. It just hasn't. And I would admit to it if I had.
No, I know you would. There's nothing to be sorry about. You just haven't done it. Like,
I mean, sorry for bad radio.
We're used to that by now. Oh.
Sorry
about that. I've cuddled.
Person could.
I've cuddled with a couple of girls.
Woo!
Yeah, there was nothing there. Like, I could promise you there was nothing there. What about you, Chris Burson? Have you cuddled with a guy before?
So I've been to college, and I was a student athlete in college, and I fit into the 98th percentile that have shared a bed with another guy. But unfortunately, along with Christian, for bad radio, I do not fall into the 93% that also reported having spooned or cuddled with another man.
Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah,
I'm looking for interesting co-hosts.
Well,
if you guys are interested, you guys can find me on Facebook.
Well, Topher, here's the thing. I mean, it's a great topic because it says 93%. So by the numbers, well, there's three of us, and Topher, obviously you have cuddled with a guy. But that's
yeah,
just 33%. And I just, you know, so obviously high school, college, now I've been around a lot of guys. And, you know, whether it's just a group of guys and girls or just guys, I don't think I've ever seen two guys just cuddling unless they were in a relationship with each other. Like, I'm trying to think back, and no, it just never happened. There's been moments at parties and stuff where guys would be joking around, like someone was trying to make someone else comfortable or they're trying to be funny in front of a group of girls and do some kind of bit or whatever. But I never saw anybody legitimately cuddling because that's just what they felt comfortable. That's what they wanted to do. I don't know if this is just something. You said that it was done in, what, the UK or something, this thing? Maybe it's just different there. But I just
I
haven't even witnessed
thinking.
That. Because 93% is like a huge number, and it just doesn't seem accurate to me.
Right. I found it very interesting. So, of course, you know, when I find stuff interesting, I like to ask a lot of people huge questions. So we were at my favorite Irish pub, Madrua, and, of course, I start asking, you know, everybody. I was like, so there was an article kind of Huffington Post about 93% of straight guys in this study say that they cuddled with another guy. Have you guys cuddled with another guy? And the stories that I've heard were amazing. But some people were like, no. No, I don't cuddle with guys. Well, you know, I was hanging out with you know, with my friend, my roommates, and we were watching TV, and you know, he fell asleep on my shoulder, but we weren't cuddling or anything. And
that's cuddling.
What'd he say?
That's what I said.
Laid on my shoulder?
He fell asleep on my shoulder, but we weren't cuddling or anything. I was like, you didn't throw him off. He goes, cuddling.
Well, now, I agree, that is cuddling. However, did the guy mean to fall asleep on his shoulder? Did he, like, fall asleep and his head rolled? It's a whole thing.
You know the semantics. I tell you, you just got to let it go. What was surprising was one of the guys that I asked, I was like, have you ever cuddled with a guy? He was like, no, I've never cuddled with a guy. And then there was silence, and he looked at me, he's like, I've made out with a guy, but I've never cuddled with a guy. And the guy, he is as straight as the day is long, and just a sweet guy. He's a really, really good guy. But the way he said it, he was like, no, I've never cuddled with a guy. That's made out with a guy. No, I made out with a dude. I never cuddled with a guy. And just, like, laughed and walked away. I was like, that's fucking hysterical. Like, it's nothing.
That is pretty funny.
It was nothing to him. What I found interesting was one of the guys that they interviewed, his name was Matt, they interviewed for the study, he explained his viewpoint on cuddling with his male friend, Connor. And he says, I feel comfortable with Connor. We spend a lot of time together. I happily rest my head on Connor's shoulder when lying on the couch or hold him in bed, but he's not the only one. The way I see it is that we're all very good and close mates. We have a bromance. Well, we're very comfortable around each other. Now, I think I'm going to chalk that up to being just kind of living in England and Great Britain area, because I think just they're I don't even know what it is, but just the way that they present themselves, they don't have to validate their masculinity or their sexuality. I know that guys in I've seen videos, but you know they're not afraid to express any kind of emotion with, especially like soccer players, because they're with them probably more times than they are with their family members. So you can kind of understand where there's a connection, but it seems like there's a separation when you come to the States, how they're not as open. And I'm not putting down America, go America, but I'm just saying that, you know, when you look at these other countries, especially England, because, you know, they're very free-spirited, that means, you know, they don't care. It does. Sexuality to them doesn't matter. You know, they like who they like, but, you know, if they find you fancy, you know, then, you know, what have you. I just think it's kind of interesting the way that this Matt guy kind of explained how he sees his friend, that he's his mate, he's his confidant. And, you know, then it doesn't matter, you know, what anybody thinks. If he wants to cuddle up with his best friend, then he should be able to cuddle up with his best friend. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know much about the culture as far as people's thoughts in, you know, outside the U.S., except for those that are extreme in one direction. But maybe that is what it is. Maybe it's just more accepted. It's not a big deal. You know, like how girls here in America would cuddle, and no one thinks anything of it, male or otherwise. They're just, okay, yeah, it works, whatever. Maybe that's just how it is, because that is a huge percentage. Like, if you had said something like 50%, or even I would go as high as, say, 60%, then I would say, okay, yeah, it sounds right. But that was just so far skewed, just based on my own personal experience and what I witnessed. So, yeah, it must just be a cultural thing. That's the only thing I can chalk it up to.
But you know what begs the question is that, you know, I feel like there's kind of blurred lines here, you know, and you mentioned it. I'm going to bring
lines.
It up. Oh, really?
You know
we
you want it.
Song. No, we can't pay for that song. You can't sing it. You cannot sing it. I wasn't going to bring it up. I wanted to bring it up. Shut up. I wanted to bring it up, but I didn't want to bring it up. Is that, you know, you said it yourself, that it's socially acceptable for two girls to cuddle, and that's more accepted than if two guys were to cuddle. And I find that very interesting. I find that to be blurred lines.
Well, Roz would hug me.
Oh, God.
I think it's rugby.
Hug me. Probably.
Well, you guys are talking about that. Let's stay on task. Jeez.
Leave it to Chris Burson. Mix it up. So what do you think?
Ooh, shiny object.
Do you really think that there is kind of almost, I guess, a double standard? I don't even say that other phrase anymore. Do you think that there's a double standard where it's more socially acceptable for two girls to cuddle as opposed to two guys?
In America, it's definitely a double standard. I mean, everything is. Girls making out with girls. I mean, girls going really far with girls is fairly acceptable. I mean, as it gets further down the line, I think the percentages will drop as far as what people think it's okay for girls to do. But I would say a vast majority of Americans would not have a problem with girls cuddling or holding hands. You know what I mean? For whatever reason, that's just how it's been in this country since I can remember.
Right.
It certainly is a double standard. I don't know why, but, you know, just
well, it's,
is what it is.
It's the same double standard as a guy who can walk around without a shirt on versus a female. It's the same thing.
Right.
In other cultures, especially overseas, it doesn't matter. In the States, absolutely. We get all crazy if somebody, a female, were to walk around without a shirt on. A guy at the beach can walk around without a shirt on. Why can't a female?
I feel like they can. I feel like that's perfectly fine.
I agree,
you're straight, but you know, well, I think you agree on other levels, but you know, I get you're right, because I think there's just a different mindset with that, and I wonder if it's because women have babies and that's their source of food, or they're just big and floppy. I don't know why. I feel like if they want to walk around shirtless, then that's fine, because there are some men out there that probably have bigger boobs than some women that I know, and they get to walk around shirtless and hairy, and that's fine, I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
It's socially acceptable. I won't say it's fine.
Okay, fair enough. It's socially acceptable for a man to walk around shirtless, regardless of how large his extremities are, above the waist, as opposed to women who probably, you know, aren't as big as some men, and that's not acceptable. I don't know. I think we live in a crazy, crazy world, and I just don't know. Oh, speaking of crazy, here we go. So I'm not going to get in my big bandwagon because I know we have only 8 minutes left, but the measles are apparently making a return in the U.S., and it's because of stupid people.
Absolutely. You've already taken the words out of my mouth.
According to, well, a lot of people, but this article on NBCNews.com, it says measles cases surges in the U.S. fueled by unvaccinated travelers, but it's also due to stupid parents who feel it's unacceptable for their child to not be vaccinated against these things. And then what happens? Your child gets sick, and then they pass it around to everybody else. And I feel like this is probably just the beginning of bringing back smallpox, and that's going to be a pandemic, and it's going to take years to get rid of. But it's because people aren't vaccinating their children. I mean, come on, stupid.
They're not doing it because of some celebrities. It's ridiculous. It's been scientifically tested even more so
right.
in recent years, and there's no correlation between these vaccinations and kids having, you know, Down syndrome or any other disabilities.
Yes, which is what really irritates the hell out of me, because a lot of these people are Amish, and I have nothing against the Amish. They make amazing fireplaces. Nothing against the Amish. But it's by, like, the religious radical people who feel like vaccinations are a bad thing, and, you know, God says that it's not, you shouldn't be vaccinated, you shouldn't have, a lot of religions say, like, you shouldn't have blood transfusions, or you shouldn't be an organ donor, you shouldn't receive organs from another person because they're unclean, period. But there's been at least 129 measles cases from the 13 states that have been reported in the U.S. so far in 2014. And we're only in 5 months, people, but it's been the highest number for the period since 1996, according to the CDC. I just don't understand. I don't understand why you would not want to protect your child from something like this. I don't know. Chris Burson, what are your thoughts? Are these people stupid?
The anti-vaccination people they're off their rocker. I try and understand it logically. I try and understand it religiously. I try and understand it ethically. There's, except for the outskirts of some religions that, like Christian said, aren't supposed to have blood transfusions or organ donations or anything like that, there is no sense to not get your child vaccinated. So I know it's double negative, so get your child vaccinated.
Right.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. They say that it's a link to autism. It's a link to Down syndrome. It's a link to all these other, and science has proven that's not true. So if that's not
right.
true, and that's the reason why you're doing this, why are you not vaccinating your children now? Why have you not done it in the past? I don't understand
right.
it. So when you don't vaccinate your child, it's not just your child that you're affecting. You're sending that child who may be a carrier and won't show the symptoms of what they have, but they can carry it and spread it throughout the entire school or throughout their entire baseball team or throughout their entire YMCA pool that they jump into. I don't know where they're gonna take this disease to, but you're not just not vaccinating your child, you're putting other people at risk.
Exactly. And you know damn well that if you go to public schools, you have to have those vaccinations. You have to have the chickenpox or have the chickenpox vaccination. You also have to have measles, mumps, and the rubella vaccination before you can even walk into a school. So it's these homeschool kids, and I've got nothing against kids who are homeschooled. I know that there's a lot of stigma that they're weird or whatever, but there's nothing against that. But it's just selfish. Like, but you know, the parents have all had these vaccinations, every single one of them. I can guarantee you. Well, let's go. 93% of them have had these vaccinations. And I think it's just ridiculous how they feel that you know, it's my child and you can't tell me what to do with my child. Well, your child's going to go to a McDonald's little play ball thing and go swimming in the balls, and then every kid who's been in those balls after your child is going to have, maybe that's a bad reference. That's a really bad reference. The slide. Kids go down the slide, and then everybody has the measles. I don't know why I picked that. God, it's late. It is just late. it is just late. I can't believe I used the McDonald's balls. But you're right. I don't. But you can't. There's nothing. There's nothing against. You know, there's no, they're not doing anything illegal. But what's going to end up happening is there's going to be a lot of sick people, and. Higher instances of death from this, because it's just going to turn out to be this huge pandemic. I don't understand. I don't know.
Agreed.
So parents who have not gotten their children vaccinated against measles, I strongly suggest that you take your head out of your ass and vaccinate your children, because it's not fair for them, because you feel like you have to stand on a high horse because you feel like nobody can tell you what to do with your child. Kids get sick, that's fine. Kids get the chickenpox, that's fine. But when it becomes an illness that can spread like wildfire, it is your job as a responsible parent to get your child vaccinated. And that's all I have to say.
Yep.
Amen.
You're the adult in the relationship.
That's right. And if you have any questions, contact me on facebook.com/norules.life. And I'll tell you again, vaccinate your children. Vaccinate them. There's nothing bad about it. I don't know. So tune in next week for us, or with us, so we can talk with Miss Tanya Brown from the amazing 95SX show, The Two Girls and a Guy. She's no longer with him, but you guys can still tune in anyway. But until then, I'll see you guys. Have a great night.
Later.
Why is the song not playing? There it is.
Good night.
Good night.
Vaccinate your children.